This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everybody. I am Freddie Bell, and welcome to New Beginnings. We're really excited because on the show this weekend, we feature an interview with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the White House and President Biden. Leibel Sternbach is here this week talking about your money. We welcome Cassie Crandall with Lifestyle. Also, Joe McKenzie stops in to talk about your career, and we have some great information for you all the way around this week on New Beginnings. And our show starts right now. Joining us now is the director of the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases and also the chief medical advisor to President Biden, Anthony Fauci. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You were in the news earlier talking about your tenure and whether or not you retire. You mentioned, you'll be 105 before COVID go away. The question I have for you this morning is, will COVID ever go away, or will it be something that we'll have to manage in America and the world for the rest of our lives?
Well, I'm not so sure for the rest of our lives, but certainly for the foreseeable future. I mean, if you look at what this virus is, what it's done and what it's capable of doing, we are certainly not going to eradicate this the way we eradicated smallpox for so many reasons. It's a highly transmissible virus. It continues to have variants as it changes over periods of months. And the immunity that's induced against it, unlike diseases like measles and smallpox and polio, where if you get infected or if you get vaccinated, the durability of your immunity is measured in decades, if not lifetime, whereas we know now from sobering experience that the durability of the protection against SARS-CoV-2 or COVID is measured in several months. So we will likely have to, over a period of time, perhaps get into a rhythm where you get a booster vaccination, perhaps, I don't know for sure, perhaps every year, similar to what we do with influenza. So we are not going to get rid of this completely. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, when we do live with it, we live with it as a level that's low enough that it does not disrupt the social order the way COVID has done over the last 2.5 years. So if you want to talk about something that is, you know, part of a virus that you could live with the way we live with other respiratory viruses, respiratory syncytial virus, common cold viruses, parainfluenza, we've got to get the level of virus in the community much lower than it is right now, so that ultimately, although we don't eliminate it, it doesn't disrupt us the way this virus has done thus far.
In that regard, I talked with Dr. Michael Osterholm, and he says we cannot boost our way to taking care of people around the world. How do we get there?
Well, certainly we need a better vaccine. We need a vaccine that has two characteristics that the current ones don't. Even though the current vaccines, we should recognize, have been extraordinarily effective in saving lives, it has already saved millions and millions of lives throughout the world. It's estimated that in the United States alone, 2 million lives have been saved by these vaccines. So we have good vaccines, but we need to do better. We need to do better in vaccines that protect against a whole array of these coronaviruses, not just the one variant that we're dealing with. And we need to have a longer durability of protection. And we need to develop effective vaccines that can be delivered through the mucosa, such as the nasal mucosa, because mm-hmm. those types of vaccines, as opposed to one that you get through an injection, has a greater level of protection against infection and transmission. Whereas the vaccines we have now do very well against protecting you against severe disease, but not as well, or at least for a durable period of time, are protecting you against infection, particularly when you have a highly highly transmissible virus like the BA.4/5 that we're currently dealing with in this country.
We started our conversation today talking about the presidents and so forth. Of course, we all know that President Biden is dealing with COVID. Is it the teachable moment for Americans and people around the world that we are hearing that it is? Do you see it as a teachable moment when 2.5 years we're still trying to get people vaccinated?
Well, I think the teachable moment is that anyone and everyone is susceptible to getting infected. And what we need to do is to properly utilize the interventions, the highly effective interventions, such as vaccination and boosting and availability and utilization of antiviral drugs like Paxlovid and other drugs or monoclonal antibodies, and testing frequently so that you know if you are infected to get into the proper care and to protect others, particularly family members and susceptible individuals, so that you don't inadvertently infect them, if in fact you don't have any symptoms. The fact that the president, who has gone about his daily business as president, unfortunately, but not surprisingly, did get infected, but he's vaccinated, he's doubly boosted, and he's on a very good drug, and we anticipate that he will do very well.
Finally, Dr. Fauci, we know that you've come through a bout of COVID, and you've also mentioned right on the heels of that that you're not retiring anytime soon. What can America expect with your career? What are your plans at this time, if you'd like to share those with us as a final thought?
Well, I want to just correct that I had said that I would almost certainly not be in the federal government after January 2025. And that I will be considering stepping down and proceeding to the next phase of my career anywhere between now and January 2025. I don't know yet. I'm in the middle of being too busy with what we're doing, but I think the incorrect thing is retire. I don't intend to be going off and playing golf or sitting around reading the newspapers. I fully intend that I will pursue the passion that I have now, is being an inspiration for and teaching and mentoring younger people in the arena of science and public and global health. So this idea of retire is really a wrong terminology. Whether I am still in the federal government or not, I have not decided that yet. But I certainly am going to go on with my professional pursuits.
Finally, you mentioned inspiration. You want to be an inspiration. Can you give a word of inspiration for folks who are still on the fence about whether or not to take this vaccine to protect themselves and those around them?
We know from overwhelming data that the likelihood of a person who's unvaccinated and even unboosted to having a severe outcome leading to hospitalization and death is overwhelmingly more likely for an unvaccinated person than for a vaccinated person. And this is particularly true because many members of minority communities, African Americans, Hispanics, and others, have underlying conditions to a greater degree than others, such as hypertension and diabetes and asthma. So it's very important for everyone, but particularly members of minority communities, to get vaccinated, and when your time comes, to get boosted. That would be my very strong message to those people that I really do care about.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. Now it's time for It Happened This Week. A former Pentagon chief says an order was never given to deploy thousands of troops to protect the Capitol on January 6. In video, the House Select Committee released Tuesday, then-Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller testified that he was never given any direction or order or knew of any plans of that nature. Miller's testimony contradicts Trump's previous claim that he requested up to 20,000 National Guard troops ahead of January 6. The Oak Fire near Yosemite National Park is now more than 25% contained. It has charred more than 18,000 acres. Evacuation orders remain in place for thousands, and officials say over 40 homes and structures have been burned. And every Uvalde, Texas officer who responded to May's school shooting will be investigated by the city council. A former Austin police detective will interview all officers who responded to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. The city has already placed a lieutenant who was the department's acting chief that day on administrative leave. And New York City wants the monkeypox virus to be renamed. The New York Public Health Commissioner made the request to the World Health Organization in a letter to the organization's chief. He referred to what he called the painful and racist history within the terminology, like monkeypox is rooted for communities of color. It happened this week. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings. With me is our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He founded Ripple Connects how many years ago, sir?
We're close to 10 years at Ripple Connects.
10
where we
years
turn
ago.
Candidates into contenders by working with them to refine their interviewing skills and their building of their bench of career advocates and just knowing how to talk about their transferable skills to carve out new opportunities in their careers.
Really exciting. And the website is rippleconnects.com. How can we reach you by telephone?
My direct number is 763-438-1621. Glad to be a resource in regards to someone's career.
This week, you want to talk about a page from the book entitled Words to the Wise.
I do. And, you know, I keep that at the ready because I try to look at a page each day to and how do I apply it to my own career. And the one that stood out to me was your Words to the Wise, you know, under the title Courage. If you don't ask, you don't get. And I just wanted to know where you're coming from because sometimes I don't always feel like I'm in a position to ask for what I want. There are times I've been there, but what steps would you take to help me or our listeners today better ask for what they want?
It's really interesting, and I'm glad you brought it up because, as you mentioned, that's on page 107 of the book Words of the Wise, and the title is Courage. The first thing that I think about is, let's break it apart, is to talk about the word courage. There are some people who are just totally immersed in courage. There's nothing that really gets to them. They're unflappable. And things that might frighten somebody else, these people just go through life undeterred, unmoved, and they're really able to tackle just about anything. And so it's strength. Courage is strength in the face of pain, and is strength in the face of grief, is strength in the face of a career setback, is strength in the face of a loss, even if it's not career. So, and in doing that, it takes some courage sometimes just to ask a simple question. Joe McKenzie, I'll just ask you, if I didn't tell you or ask you for help, would you give me help?
If I didn't know you needed help, I don't know how I could give you help.
And that's the crux of it.
I would never know. Yeah, it would. You would not be in a position to receive help from me if I didn't know.
And that's the whole thing. Because there are some people who don't have the courage to ask for what they really need. And it's amazing. It's just a simple process. If you don't ask, you don't get anything. And that's what it says in the book on page 107. If you don't ask, you don't get. But it requires a certain degree of courage. And I think there are four types of courage, Joe McKenzie.
The
first one is empathetic courage. There are some people who see people who are just in pain. They're going through some difficult things, and they are the first ones to leap into action. I think about our first responders. These people, they forget about self, and they just go head on into whatever emergency situation there might be. And then there's disciplined courage. It says, okay, all right, I know this is going to be a difficult situation that I'm embarking upon, but I'm going to go through no matter what it takes to get the job done. That's a disciplined courage. And then there's the intellectual courage. These are the people who are just really, really smart. And they say, based on the facts, based on what I know, based on what I've read, based on my research, we'll execute in this way. And then you have the people who are, they have the moral courage. This is based on my faith, based on what I believe, based on how I govern my life. And so when you put those four ideas together, the empathetic courage, the disciplined courage, the intellectual courage, and the moral courage, it gives you that power, it gives you that authority to ask for whatever it is that you want. And I guarantee you, as you just mentioned earlier, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's why the book is always at the ready in the McKinsey household, because I've got three 20-year-olds that are entering their careers. They're having setbacks. They're having to make decisions. We talk about a lot of the things that are there, but it's how do we apply it on a daily basis? And I think it was very helpful for our listeners today, including myself, to know the different, you know, that empathetic, disciplined, intellectual, moral courage that it takes to ultimately ask for what we want versus, you know, the bravado courage that maybe is top of, maybe we think about it as that more than those four that you outline. And so you've helped bring clarity, but also how can I apply it to my life and how I can help my family, how I can help my clients, how I can help my colleagues, because we're all in that difficult situation where we need to have the right tools to make sure that we're at our best. So the world's better because we're at our best. And that's what I see you doing here with this entire book. But in today's, this segment in itself, if you don't ask, you don't get. What happens if you don't ask and you don't get? What positive outcomes could have happened if you would have just asked for what you want?
That one question. So I'll leave this with you. It's a statement of purpose. I move ahead with a mighty faith to do what is mine to do. Say that once a day for the next several days, and then send me an email, freddie@freddiebell.com, and we can talk about the results. Hey, Joe, we got to leave it right there, sir.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Let's turn our attention now to lifestyle. Here is Cassie Crandall with three things.
Thank you, Freddie. All right, Cassie's thing number one this week. What would you think about living in a hotel during your time at college or university rather than the traditional dorm room or college apartments? Well, maybe this has happened before and I'm just not aware of it, but I recently heard that Florida Atlantic University is having to put up a lot of first-year students and possibly other students in hotels rather than in their on-campus dormitories because of overcrowding. They apparently have such a large incoming class that they don't have room for them. So they've let them know that they'll be put up in certain hotels and probably have, you know, free transportation from there getting to their classes and such. But I found that interesting because you normally think you're going to go to a dorm, and now instead you're going to a hotel. And if it's a hotel that provides free breakfast, hey, that's a win-win. Who knows? Anyway, something to think about. Okay, thing number two. How many of you watch Jeopardy? I know my husband and I watch it quite a bit and it's fun. But we do miss Alex Trebek. He was there for so long and certainly endeared himself to us. So meanwhile, they've been having guest hosts and then they've had temporary hosts. And now I just read that they've actually found their new co-hosts. There will be Ken Jennings. You probably know that name if you watch Jeopardy. And Maya Bialik. She's from The Big Bang Theory. And she's actually been guest hosting, I think, for quite a while now. But in any case, Jeopardy announces Maya Bialik and Ken Jennings as official co-hosts. I think that ought to be a great team, the two of them, and viewers should be pretty happy. And were you aware that Maya Bialik actually is a neuroscientist? And she's an author and a director and an actor, of course. Wow, what an amazing individual to have along with Ken Jennings as a host. This is going to be awesome. And last but not least, my thing three this week. There's a quote I'll share with you. Without rain, nothing grows. Learn to embrace the storms in your life. And I'm struggling with that a little bit lately because I've had some storms in my life going on and I haven't been handling it very well. And I know that it's time for me to quit my crying and get back into the flow of things in my life and be happy and put the past behind me. But it sure is true that without rain, nothing grows. So we have to embrace the storms in our lives and carry on. So that's what I'm going to try to do. And hopefully I'll be in better spirits by next week. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
This is my all-new FreddieBell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I came across a few interesting things this week, like the jacket Buzz Aldrin wore on his flight to the moon. It has a new owner, and it was bought for $2.8 million. The space jacket, adorned with U.S. flag and NASA logo, is one of dozens of personal belongings the 92-year-old Apollo 11 astronaut is putting up for sale. It was sold at Sotheby's auction in New York on Tuesday. Aldrin followed Neil Armstrong into the moon's surface on January 20th, 1969. He is the only living member of the three-man crew. Armstrong died in 2012 and Michael Collins died just last August. A New Jersey funeral home is being sued for $50 million. Why? For putting the wrong body in the casket at a woman's funeral. The Kim family has filed a lawsuit against the Blakey and the Central Funeral Home, claiming the woman in the casket was not their deceased grandmother. Kim John Kim died in November at the age of 93. At first, her daughter says she was amused because her mother looked younger because of the embalming process. She later found out that the body in the casket was another Korean woman named Kim. The funeral director has apologized and says the grandmother was buried the next day. The only all-black women's Army Corps unit stationed overseas during World War II is being awarded the Congressional Gold Medal. Only six members of the 6688th Central Postal Directory Battalion are still alive today. They were deployed to Europe in 1945 as a part of a segregated unit tasked with sorting through a backlog of mail. Their motto soon became "No Mail, no morale. The oldest, 102-year-old Catherine Davis, was honored this week with the nation's highest civilian honor presented by Congress. And the new Jackie Robinson Museum in New York City is now open. Tennis legend Billie Jean King says the experience will be important for people of all ages. King, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, family members of Robinson, and other athletes took part in a ribbon-cutting ceremony this week. The museum in Lower Manhattan will honor the life of Robinson and his civil rights work and will feature thousands of artifacts and historical photos. Robinson was known for breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball. The museum opens to the public in September. Just thought you would like to know on New Beginnings. Now let's turn our attention to your financial health in retirement. And with us is Leibel Sternbach. He is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. So let's pick up on the discussion where we started last week. We've been talking about investing for retirement. I got a question from one of our listeners, and they're asking this, and it's a statement. I want to make money, but Leibel, I don't want to lose it all too. Do I have any options?
Yes, there are options. If you want to invest and you don't want to lose your money, right? If you want to invest in the market and you don't want to lose it all, right? You have two factors that you can control, right? Think of these as levers or knobs. And by dialing these in, you will be able to set how much risk or how much potential loss you're comfortable with, and be able to dial in the return that you want. And the first one is risk of loss, right? So you can choose to invest in things that have a higher risk of loss versus a lower risk of loss. And the spectrum on that is anywhere from people contractually are contractually obligated to give you your principal back. So simplest form, right? Bank CD. Bank CD, you will always get your initial money back. Bonds, right? You give a bond, you buy a bond, and at the end of the bond, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, whenever it matures, you're going to get your principal back. With a bank, if the bank goes bankrupt, you'll get, you know, insurance payouts, FDIC. With a bond, you'll be able to participate in the bankruptcy proceedings and get the money from the company when it liquidates and sells. You won't get all your money back, but you will get some of your money back. How much of your money is at risk? How much you'll be able to get back? What's the chances of losing your money? That's really a spectrum, right? Just like we have, you know, what's it like, 90% of startups fail within the first 2 years. Well, when we're thinking about, you know, companies that we can invest in or that we can loan our money to, you have a spectrum. You have a spectrum of risk. You can invest in brand new companies that are startups and have a huge amount of risk of failure. Or you can invest in companies like IBM that have been around for over 100 years and probably are not going anywhere. They're not going to make, you know, massive profits. They're not going to, you're not going to get huge returns. But at the same time, they're not going to go bankrupt overnight. And even if they do go bankrupt, the chances of your money going to zero are kind of nil, right? Because they own so many physical assets, because they have so many investors, because they're so integrated into so many aspects of society that if they were to go bankrupt, it would hurt so many people that there's going to be protections around them, right? So you can very much dial it in. The other thing that you can dial in is how long are you willing to give up your money for, right? The longer you're willing to wait for your return, the greater of a return you can get. And that's a spectrum as well, right? Let's take day traders, right? Day traders, they don't give up their money for any period of time, right? It's literally for a few hours they'll give up their money. And if they want to make any kind of significant return, right? Because for the vast majority of days, the market doesn't move very far. So in a single day, right? I think it's the average movement in a single day is under 3%. A 3% return on your investment in a single day isn't a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. So in order for a day trader to make any kind of money, they have to invest either millions and tens of millions of dollars, or they need to take on a huge amount of risk and they need to turn $1 into $20 or into $5. And they do that by borrowing. They do that by using risky products that have leverage built into them so that they're no longer investing in the company. They're investing in a thing of the company or a bet of a bet of a bet on the company. So much so that the speculation that day traders take on is actually codified in law as not being gambling, because by its very definition of what they do, it meets the definition of gambling and would be illegal.
Interesting. So yeah. You've been doing this for a while, Liable. What mistakes do you see most often when people are investing for retirement?
The biggest mistake that I see people making when they're investing for retirement, and it really goes into two categories. Category number one is not understanding the risks that they're taking on. And so very common, I'll find that people will diversify themselves across different companies. And so they'll have, you know, a small amount of money at Fidelity and a small amount of money at TD and a small money amount of money at their local credit union. And they spread their money around with different managers. And they think that by doing that, they're diversifying. And so their risk of loss is less. But because each one of these people are managing the money independently and oftentimes with very little instructions, what ends up happening is they either end up taking on excessive risk or not enough risk. And you end up with a portfolio that just doesn't do what you want it to do. And either you end up losing a lot of money or it ends up not growing at all. You also end up missing out a lot of opportunities that would be available to you. So that's mistake number one.
Mm-hmm.
The other category of mistake that I see is people not taking on risk. So they get very conservative and they're like, well, I should be a 60-40 because that's what everyone says, or I should be 50-50. And they start listening to this advice in the media. And because they're afraid of losing money, they don't invest their money aggressively enough in a way that will grow with inflation, that will grow with their cost of living, that will grow to accommodate what they need over their lifetime. And so they end up actually going backwards without even realizing it.
Interesting.
And so what you really need in retirement, you need to have a plan. It doesn't have to be a complex plan, but it has to be a plan that accounts for your entire household as a whole, all of your money, and that takes on the appropriate level of risk for you. You want a level of risk that will provide the returns that you need and produce the income you need in retirement.
So to avoid those types of mistakes, what kind of mindset do you need to have in addition to that plan to make it easier for you to be really successful in investing and especially for retirement?
The mindset that you need to have going into this is that it's not hard. It's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to take the time to understand what I am doing and why I'm doing it. Because until you have that clarity, you will always be making poor choices. That is just a fact. And if you know somebody who seems to have made good choices, it's by accident and it's sheer luck. And you can't count on luck in retirement.
All right. So talk about the discipline then, Liable, that you need when you're doing this. You know, I'm thinking about a friend of mine who says he's always a passenger when his wife is driving. And he says it seems it's better when I'm driving from the passenger side. But his wife is always saying, take your hand off the wheel. Do we need to just to take our hands off the wheel?
I don't think so. I don't think it's about taking your hands off of the wheel. I think it's about learning how to use cruise control.
Ah, how do you mean? Talk about that.
So something that you hear me say all the time, finance is simple. It's not complicated. And we have these great tools out there. And I mean, using the analogy of a car, right? Every car comes equipped with cruise control these days, but if you don't know how to use it, you're going to be scared and you're never going to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to turn it off too quickly. So what you need to do, right, it's not about becoming you don't need to become a expert defensive driver, right? That's what people will have you believe, that if you want to drive, you need to become an expert at driving, right? And we send kids to driver's ed, right? And doing all these things. You don't need to become an expert in driving. What you need to become an expert in is turning on cruise control and knowing when to turn it off, right? If you can become an expert user in cruise control, when we live in a world with, you know, Tesla autopilots, you're going to be fine, right? Just learn how to use the Tesla autopilot on your investments and learn when to use it and when not to use it. And you don't need to know anything else.
So with the road signs, using that analogy, we're cruising along. We are using that cruise control properly. At what point should we start looking at the road signs or reviewing our investment, so to speak?
So what we want in terms of reviewing the road signs and when you should, you know, whether it's taking the gas on or off, I'm going to drop a little truth bomb here. It's if you are looking at the markets for when to do something, and that isn't something that was planned out long ago, then you're making the wrong choice. Guaranteed. I can guarantee you, you're going to hurt yourself. What you should have is, as part of your plan, you should have written down and say, if the market goes down by 10% or the market goes down by 5%, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, right? And that should be baked into your plan. And the truth is that most retirees don't even need that, right? It should be part just a habit of once a month, I balance my checkbook, right? I look at my accounts and my investments are part of that. And I'm looking for opportunities where I can, you know, do tax loss harvesting or where I can rebalance my accounts and reduce some risk and increase some opportunities. And those, what I just described, sounds really complex, but it's not. It's only complex if you have, you know, someone who doesn't know what they're doing it. Or when you have a committee of, you know, hundreds of people at Morgan Stanley doing it for you, and they need to do activity to justify their fees.
Mm-hmm.
But you as yourself, right, you can have two positions in your account, and that's all you're looking at. I mean, how hard is it to look at two line items and decide, you know, am I going to sell this or am I going to buy that, right? And you're doing it based on the numbers.
Makes a lot of sense. My last question for you, we're just about out of time. How do you feel about having to rely on investments solely for retirement income, and that's all you have? What do you think?
I think that that is a personal choice. I think that there, depending on where you are and how much money you have and how much your needs are in retirement, there are lots of opportunities for non-investment income. And, you know, that again, it's a spectrum, right? You can buy a house, rent it out, VBRO or Airbnb, and you can make income that way. The same thing, you can, you know, get an insurance contract, you know, an annuity and get income from that. So there's lots of opportunities. It's really about personal preference.
Makes a lot of sense. And can we get more information? I know we've got your website, yieldsforyou.com. But I understand you have a second website that really is a course on investing for retiring.
Yeah, so that's on my Yields for You website. There's a tab called Classes. And if you go on there, we've got a number of classes on retirement, on investing, on taxes. It's literally, you know, we're building out a library of everything that you would need to know in order to retire and be financially secure in retirement. Step by step, you know, how to think of these things and go through making these decisions so that by the time you're done, the choice should seem obvious. If the choice is not obvious to you of what you should be doing, then there's something wrong with the process.
Makes a lot of sense. That's Lybel Sternbach. His website is simply libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
Hey As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
I am grateful that I exist. I am grateful that all people exist. But our society at times needs balancing. I looked back 40 years when I joined with friends in Kansas City. We got the use of a parking lot not even as big as this room. We set up tables to have Kansas City's first Pride Festival, hoping that maybe a couple of dozen people would show up. But we were ready. We asked for help from local businesses. I remember specifically Bank of America. They were near the location. We asked financial assistance from many businesses. Everyone turned us down. We cannot be associated with that. Now, as decades have changed, at least in Kansas City, my hometown, there's a huge celebration. All the major hotels offer special rates for people traveling out of town to the celebration. A major sponsor is Bank of America. The idea had to start somewhere, that people, whatever their background, however they see their community, have the right to say, I deserve to exist in this world. I remember a few years after that, talking with my Baptist minister, a very good man. But we talked about this issue that the church at that time did not accept. And he asked me, in a spirit of helpfulness, would you like to work through the biblical scriptures that perhaps speak to the subject of one's sexuality? And I said, I'm sure that would be very interesting. That's good scholarly work. But I said, Reverend, I do not need a scripture to justify my right to exist. I will not question that anymore, nor will I use even a sacred scripture to prove that I have a place in this world. Well, let's turn the channels. Friday, we know what all happened with our Supreme Court. And regardless of which side, or even if you take both sides of the issue of the rights of abortion and the control of birthing in humanity, I encourage you, declare for yourself, let there be light. Let me see this situation with greater understanding, greater awareness. Because I don't know about you, I fall into this category at times. And that is, well, maybe I should complain about it. Maybe I should cause a fuss. Or as some of us learn through the years in the LGBTQ community, maybe I shouldn't rock the boat. You know, speaking up causes trouble. But you can still declare light for greater understanding. I remember one of my summers not long ago at the Chautauqua Institution, and I'll be going in about a month once again. And I got to hear a fascinating speech by the Republican former Ohio Governor John Kasich. And it really intrigued me because his message to that audience of several thousand at Chautauqua was, Do not give all your power to Washington. He said, yes. Some very significant legislation, policies, public views get established in Washington as part of our federal government process. But he said, don't throw away all your power and think that everything's decided in Washington. He said, you're creative. You have a life. You have communities. There is so much you can do at home, where you live. Quit giving up everything to Washington and discover what you can do in your home city, your neighborhood, your very block, your very mind. There are always new ways that are born by creative minds to take our society and our world forward. And there will always be situations that we personally may really have to struggle through. I've been there. Most of you have probably been there. We'll continue to meet it. But let there be light. Be clear with yourself. What is mine to do in this situation? I can assure you, on this overthrow of Roe v. Wade, we live in Minnesota. Many people are going to turn to our state for help. There'll be many new volunteer opportunities. You know, our friends, we try to help VEEP, Volunteers Enlisted to Assist People. Isn't that a great name? People go, what does VEEP mean? Volunteers Enlisted to Assist People. There are going to be all kinds of new opportunities helping people with transportation, housing, assistance, as our country works through this issue. In Minnesota, we're in a particular place. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you can shine your light upon possibilities, upon new ways for our country to, despite its issues, its problems, its current struggling with us fighting in so many different ways, there are still people all over this world that look to the light of America. Because we believe in beginning again, in improving. Are we there yet? No. How soon will we get there? I don't know. But it comes down to this first day or period of creation that operates each and every day all of you wake up. Let there be light. Let me see what is mine to do. Let me see how I can bring to this situation, this relationship, my career, my education, my neighborhood, my city. Let me see clearly what's needed and how I can help.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Now it's time to satisfy your food cravings. Why? Because today is National Chicken Fingers Day. It honors the perfectly coated snack that is chicken fingers, a specialty that originated in the South. This delicious tidbit is loved by even the most finicky child. They can be used as a food bribe when the little one refuses to eat. Accompanied by just about any of your favorite side dishes, chicken fingers remain a firm favorite. It could also be called chicken strips, chicken tenders, or chicken fillets. They're made from the white meat of chicken breasts and are prepared by seasoning the chicken strips to your preference, coating them in breading, and then deep frying them. The result is a tasty, soft piece of chicken wrapped in a crunchy, golden brown exterior. Host a party and serve chicken fingers today. My goodness, I'm hungry all of a sudden. And here are today's words to the wise. Make your house a home. Today's words to the wise. Make your house a home. I'm Freddie Bell. This is New Beginnings. And if you'd like more information about words to the wise, just simply visit FreddieBell.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Well, that's our show for this week on New Beginnings, reminding you that you can find out more information about Words to the Wise by simply going to FreddieBell.com. Special thanks to Dr. Anthony Fauci for stopping by this week, Lipel Sternbach, Cassie Crandall, Joe McKenzie, and our friends at Unity South Twin Cities. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell, reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning.